Thank you, Scotty. Awesome. Thank you, worship team. You guys are great. Didn't they do a great job? Let's give a big round of applause. And it was awesome. We a bunch of us actually went to, we're in Brisbane for a couple of days at Planet Shakers Conference. Anyone here go to Planet Shakers Conference this week? And yeah, there was a few of us. We had about 100 of our church go along to that, which was great. And we also had about 30 students from our school went to that as well. And it was just absolutely brilliant. And but a lot of our guys actually served as ushers at the conference as well. And some of these guys did. And then they've come back this morning to get some refuel with some pancakes at 8 a.m. and then also lead worship for us. So I think it was just absolutely wonderful. And it was great. And also a big thank you to everybody who was praying for everybody that went away. It's incredible. Our guys only went away. It was only 3 nights and 2 days. And you might think, well, what can God do in that time? Well, he can actually do a lot. In that time, you know, better is one day in his courts than 1,000 anywhere else. And so it was just absolutely brilliant beyond next year. But if you're visiting here today and you're here from, you're on the Gold Coast for holidays, want to welcome you to the beautiful Gold Coast. Hope it stays a little bit sunny for you over the weekend. And we also, as Scotty mentioned, we have a Easter Sunday service, Resurrection Sunday at 10 a.m. here. We've got an Easter egg hunt afterwards for the kids, and also we'll be at Easter United at Broadwater Parklands on Sunday night, joining with other churches from around the Gold Coast. Last year, there was 3,500 people got together. You know, it's so funny, you know, the media and society might say that the church is dead, but it is not true. It is alive and kicking, here on the Gold Coast. And if you don't believe it, come along on Sunday night, and you'll see. It'll be absolutely brilliant. So bless you heaps. And also, too, just another thing, just letting you know about a couple of really special events coming up. Put your hand up if you're a mother. And awesome. I didn't say put your hand up if you want to be a mother. Put your hand up if you are a mother. And we've got Mother's Day service here on May the 12th. And we always do something special for the mums. So please feel free to come along. And also bring your mum or someone who's a mother. We're going to spoil them on that day. And also, too, I just want to let you know, it's a really, we've really got great favour on some of these things. And we actually have a very special guest speaker coming to preach this in May. He's actually going to be doing a youth rally in our building on the Saturday night, but also preaching at our church on a Sunday morning. And his name is Nick Vucic, or known as Nick V. He's world famous. He's got no arms and no legs, and he's an evangelist, and he lives in the United States, and he's on Oprah Winfrey and all that sort of thing. But he's a great soul winner and almost impossible to get. But I had a phone call from a friend of mine who had him coming out to Australia, and said, he said, Ben, would you like Nick V for a Sunday morning? And I said, yeah, okay, that'd be awesome. And he said, because a particular church was going to have him, but they decided they were going to have a church AGM that day. And so Kings can have him. I said, praise God. And, you know, so, you know, thank you to that church. I won't say their name, be a bit embarrassing, but you probably would have heard of them. And so that is going to be here. So on the 25th, there's a youth rally that night. And you're welcome to come as long if you bring earplugs, okay? And you're welcome to come along on that night, but also too on the Sunday morning here at Reedy Creek at 10 a.m., we're going to have him preaching here. Great soul winner, great evangelist. If you've got some friends who what I call blue moon Christians, which is people who go to church once in a blue moon, bring them along to that, okay? Because they will hear the gospel, they'll be touched, and it'll be absolutely brilliant. So if you want some of these to give to friends or family, feel free to do that. If you got your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, if you don't know where it is, it's before 2 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 26. It says this: For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Let's pray. Father, I just ask and pray that you would just help us to remember, Lord, all that you've done. I thank you and praise you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. This is quite a well-known passage of Scripture. This was written by the Apostle Paul, and he is talking about the Last Supper, and he is quoting Christ at the Last Supper. So the night before he actually went to the cross, Jesus had a Last Supper with his disciples, and he had what we would call the First Communion. And in that, he took the bread and he took the cup and he gave it to his disciples and he said, take, eat, and take and drink. Do this in remembrance of me. When I was a kid, I was in a church that was a Tongan congregation. And so in the morning, there would be an English service. And then at night, there would be a Tongan-speaking service. And that particular Tongan-speaking service would be held at Wesley Uniting Church in the centre of Melbourne. And so we would go in there on a Sunday afternoon for that Tongan-speaking service. But I grew up here in Australia. I'm what you would call probably a coconut, you know, brown on the outside, white on the inside. And so I went there and I didn't know much Tongan. The only Tongan I knew was probably words you wouldn't say in church. And I remember I would be there in this service and I'd be completely bored out of my brain because they would be talking about, they would be speaking in Tongan and I didn't understand anything. And to be honest, most of the time, me and my friends would duck out, would go to the local pool parlour and we would play pool or play video games or something like that. And so it wasn't an entirely memorable experience. But I remember one time sitting there in Wesley Uniting Church and I noticed that up on the stage, they had this great big wooden table and on one side was a loaf of bread and in the middle was a cup and on engraved in the side of the table, it says, this do in remembrance of me. Now, I remember and I knew enough to know that that was Christ who said that. That Christ said to his disciples, he said, take the bread and drink the cup, do this in remembrance of me. And I remember sitting there thinking, what a silly thing to say. As if we'd forget. You know, like Jesus is saying, do this in remembrance of me. It's like, Jesus, you know, do you honestly think we'll forget you? But honestly, there are times when we need to be reminded of all the things that he has done for us and reminded of a number of things. And so here in this passage of scripture, I guess if you wanted to title this message, we could call it Lest We Forget. And we can talk about a few things here that we need to remind ourselves of. And the perfect time to do it is on Good Friday, which is the day after when they actually had that first communion, to remind us of what Christ has done for us. And you might have had a difficult first term. You might have had a tough start to the year. And you might have forgotten the things that you might have a head knowledge and an assent of what Christ has done, but it hasn't dropped into your heart. Maybe it's been squeezed out by the cares of this life. And this is a really great time for us on Good Friday. And the reason why it's called good is because there's a Resurrection Sunday. It wouldn't be a Good Friday without a Resurrection Sunday. But it's a great time for us to take stock and to remember some things about Jesus Christ. And so today I want to talk to you about four things that we need to remember. The first thing is this. It says in verse 24 of 1 Corinthians 11, it says, and when Jesus had given thanks, he broke the bread and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So he's sitting at this table. He's about to go to the cross the next day. And he's eyeballing his disciples. We're reading this through the text. But he's actually looking at his disciples and he's prophesying about what's going to happen the next day. And he is saying to them, everything I'm about to go through, I'm doing for you. For you. The first thing that we need to remember at this time of the year is we need to remember his love. We need to remember his love. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. The whole reason why Christ died and went to the cross, he was driven by his love for us. As Christians, I believe we should be more focused on his love than anything else. There is no doubt that as sinners, we have fallen short of the glory of God. But the Bible says to us that there is a way of escape, that there is a way for us to be made in right relationship, and that is because of the cross of Jesus Christ. He died and took the punishment for our sins that we might have the ability to be made right with God. And so we need to be aware, more aware of anything else. We actually need to be made aware of his love. The Bible says these three things remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is actually love. That is why as Christians, not only do we need to be reminded of his love for us, but we also need to be the most loving people on the planet. You know, the world will try and call us as Christians and call us haters, but that is not the truth, because we serve a God of love and his spirit lives on the inside of us. And we are people who serve a God of love. The thing is this though, sometimes we determine God's love not on what Christ did for us, but actually upon our external circumstances. God's love is unchanging. But there are times we go through seasons in life where we can actually wonder, does God really love me because of what I'm going through? But one of the things we need to remind ourselves, and I think this is why Christ actually said, keep doing this in remembrance of me, is because we can go through life and we can go through some difficult times and some difficult situations, and we can judge our love from God upon our circumstances instead of what we should truly judge his love on, which is unchanging nature and the love of Jesus Christ that shed abroad for us, died on the cross for us. That literally, Christ dying on the cross was the ultimate sign of his love for us. I've told you before that there are times when my children were younger and they would often judge my love for them depending on what I did for them. And there'd be times I'd say things like, Dad, you hate me. And it's like, no, I don't hate you, but it was because I wasn't actually giving them what they want. I had one particular friend who was actually taunting his kids a little bit, and one of them was wanting a biscuit from the top shelf, and so grabbed the biscuit, and the kid was saying, well, give me the biscuit. And he had it in his hand and he said, what, this one? And the kid's looking at it and going, yes, yes. And so he puts it behind his back and brings it out again. And the kid's looking at it and his son's like, you hate me. You don't love me. Because he was looking at the closed hand. He was judging his father's love depending on what his father would do for him. But the whole time, because his dad was cheeky, his dad was smiling. And instead of looking at his hand, he should have been looking at his dad's face. Some of us here need to be reminded of his love. Take your eyes off his hand and put your eyes on his face. Good Friday, Jesus Christ died for you and me because he loves us. The second thing that we need to remember, it says in verse 24, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. He's saying, this is my body being broken. Salvation for Christ was not cheap. Cost him all. Cost him his whole life. And his body was broken for you and I. It wasn't an easy thing for Christ to go on the cross. The Bible says when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he was praying, he was under such pressure that he was actually sweating drops of blood. So much pressure, so much anxiety. In fact, even at that moment, he said to his heavenly Father, if it be your will, take this cup of suffering away from me. I don't actually want to go through. There's a part of me that doesn't want to go through this. Why? Because of the sacrifice that he has made for us. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. Doesn't say who for the joy set before him enjoyed the cross. Wasn't fun. It was nasty. It's one of the worst ways you could die. But it said, for the joy set before him. What's the joy set before him? It's us. He endured the cross. We need to remember his sacrifice. As a Christian, when you follow Christ, we need to understand the Bible says we're to be imitators of him. It actually says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, at the start of this chapter, the Apostle Paul reminded them, and he said, be imitators of me, even as I imitate Christ. That as Christians, we're to imitate Christ. And part of that is that there are times when we actually make sacrifice. There are times when we actually endure some suffering. But we need to understand that he actually first endured it for us. That he actually made a significant sacrifice for us. He paid the price so that we might be made right with God. It's interesting in my journaling, and I've got a funny thing with my Bible journaling. So what I've been doing since 2005 is journaling one verse at a time. And so I just read one verse and journal on it and write like a few sentences on it, that sort of thing. And so the last couple of years, I've been in Numbers. And the thing is with Numbers, there's a lot of sacrifice. I've just read Numbers chapter 7. It's over 90 verses. One a day. And every verse, it's such and such came, paid this sacrifice. Such and such came, paid a sacrifice for sin. Such and such came, paid a sacrifice for peace offerings. That in the Old Testament, they were continually needing to make sacrifice. But the good thing is that Jesus Christ made the sacrifice for us, so we don't have to do that anymore. That we can actually have a freedom and a liberty because of the sacrifice he actually made for us. And we need to remember that he actually had his body and broken for us. You know, you hear, see romantic films and novels and people always, you know, this kind of a thing like, you know, the greatest thing you can do, show your love, is to die for someone. And, you know, some of you may have thought, gee, I wonder if anyone would die for me. Well, can I tell you, somebody already did. And his name is Jesus Christ. And his body was broken for you. And we need to remember his sacrifice today on Good Friday. The third thing that we need to remember, it says in verse 25 of 1 Corinthians 11, says, in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this is the cup in the new covenant in my blood. The new covenant. So he's saying, I'm making a new covenant with you. Covenant means promise. So I'm actually making new promises with you. So the third thing we need to remember at this time is we need to remember his promises. When Christ died for us, when his blood was shed for us, it opened up a whole world of blessing and potential for our lives. That's why the Bible says in Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. There are benefits to being a Christian. The Bible says that he forgives you of all your sins. But not only that, he'll heal you of all your diseases. Not only that, he redeems your life from the pit and from destruction, so that your youth and gives you the desires of your heart, so that your youth will be renewed like the eagles. There's benefits to being a Christian, and he's a promise keeper. And Jesus is saying that we need to remember, we're doing this to remember this new covenant, this new promise that I actually have for you. What that tells me is that God is actually also a promise keeper. On Easter Sunday, I'm going to share a message about patterns of God's fulfilled promises, looking at Good Friday, Easter Saturday, and Easter Sunday. And I could imagine at this time that here he is, he's at the Last Supper, and he's saying, there's a new covenant I'm going to make with you guys. And some of them, the penny had not dropped that the next day he was going to be crucified. So the very next day, the day that this day commemorates, Good Friday, was the day that he was actually crucified. And on that day, they were scattered. On that day, their dreams were shattered. But they should have remembered the fact that he said, I'm going to make a new covenant with you. That actually, I do have promises that are going to come to pass. And in the same way as Christians, we might have some promises that have died. We might have some promises that look dead and buried. But Easter reminds me that if you have a promise that looks dead and buried, we serve a resurrection God who can bring dead things back to life. And we need to remember his promises because he is a promise keeper. There are promises over your life. There's promises over your family's life. There's promises over our city. There's promises over this church. And even in times when it looks like it may not happen, I'm here to let you know that he is a promise keeper and he can bring dead things back to life. Amen. We need to remember his promises. And the last thing that we need to remember, he says in verse 26, he says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. God is awesome. Everything he does, he wants to reach the lost. Because at the end of this, he says, you're taking communion and by doing this, you're proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes. Who are we proclaiming it to? We're proclaiming it to other people. The Christian faith is not supposed to be suppressed or put in a bowl. The Bible says we're supposed to let our light shine before all men. And even here at the end, before he even goes to the cross, he says, you're going to keep proclaiming my death. You're going to keep proclaiming the good news of the gospel wherever you go. So the fourth thing we need to remember on Good Friday, we need to remember his sacrifice. We need to remember his love for us and his promises for us. But in the midst of all that, we need to remember the lost. Because Jesus did not just die for us, not just for a few frozen chosen. Bible says in John chapter 3:16, for God so loved the world, that God wants the entire world to come to a saving knowledge of Him. One of the biggest things the enemy wants to do is to try and stifle your faith and keep it private and have you keep it to yourself and say, oh, well, you know, it's just you and God and society is just not interested in the gospel and society doesn't care and that sort of thing. And, you know, but so just keep it to yourself. But that's not what God's will for our life. He says that no one lights a lamp and puts it under a bowl. Our faith is not supposed to be private. Our faith needs to be one that proclaims, and we're to continue to proclaim His death until He comes. That means that every single one of us, God wants us to be people to be bold, who will share our faith, to not just think of our faith as one that's just for us, but it's also that God actually, not only did Jesus die for us, but He actually wants to reach a lost and a hurting world. And so often we have to, and sometimes it's good for us at this time to realize that we are people that serve a God that people, even if they don't even know it, deep in their hearts, what they're looking for is all in Jesus Christ. You know, it's so funny. We can get a mindset like that. I was recently talking to a pastor and he had planted a church in the inner city of Brisbane. And he was finding it really difficult. And it was shrinking and he was thinking of closing it down. And he was saying, he goes, you know what? It's too hard to plant a church in the city of Brisbane. He said, people don't live in Brisbane, they live outside and people don't want to come into the city. And then inner city people, they're not really open to the gospel as much as they are out in the suburbs or the Gold Coast or something like that. And he was considering closing his church down. But also, just a few weeks ago, I was in Brisbane on a Friday night, and so I went and visited a new church in the middle of the city. And it was packed, filled with hundreds of people. Same God. But one guy was thinking, oh, well, no, it's not. We're in defeat. It's not. It's just for us, as long as I just keep my faith alive. And yet others had a revelation, no, we're to proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. God wants to use every single one of us. There's a lot of people here, you love God, you've got a relationship with Him, and He's been good to you. But there's a timidity and a fear about sharing your faith with other people. I'm here to let you know that on this Good Friday, that we are to, as we remember, the lost as well. And we are to proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. Amen? Will you remember with me? Let's keep remembering His love. Let's remember His sacrifice. Let's remember His promises. And also, let's remember the lost. And maybe you have family members or people in your world that are away from God. And right now, as I'm speaking, you're like, you know, I've had a revelation of God, but they're just so far away. I've seen it in my family. I've seen it in all around the place that people who I thought were so resistant to the gospel, Christ did not die in vain for, that by His Spirit He drew them to Him and they gave their lives to Christ. And so maybe you have some people here and them almost their faces flashing in front of your mind. And you're saying, that's who I'm, you know, this is someone, they seem so hard. But I want to let you know that the same Christ that died on the cross for you and for me died for them as well. Amen. And also too, maybe you're in this place and you're just visiting and you don't personally have a relationship with Christ. Maybe you're a blue moon churchgoer once in a blue moon, and that's cool. You know, if you want to come once in a blue moon, be our guest. It's no problem at all. But if you're in this place and you haven't given your life to Christ, can I tell you that not only did He die for the Christians around you, but He died for you as well. His body was broken for you and for I to establish a new covenant so that you might have relationship with Him, that you might have your sins forgiven, that you might spend eternity with Him after you die. And if you have not given your, and all you have to do is respond. All you have to do is turn and give your life to Him. Today on Good Friday, as we commemorate Him giving up His life for us, what better day than to lay your life down for Him in exchange. And so can I just ask everyone to close their eyes and bow their heads for a moment? If you're in this place and you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you haven't given your life to Christ, you might be just visiting today, you might be just coming with family, and you're sensing in your heart, you're saying, today I want to give my life to Christ. He died for me, I'm going to live for Him. If that is you right where you are, slip up your hand and say, that's me this morning, with every eye closed and every head bowed. If you're here today and you're saying, today I want to give my life to Christ, I want to have a relationship with God, I want to give my life to Him. If that is you right where you are, slip up your hand and say, that's me this morning. I want to give my life to Christ. I want to have a relationship with God. Secondly, maybe you're here and as I was preaching, someone's face was being flashed in front of your mind. Someone in your world that does not have a relationship with Christ. Someone that is dear to you but you think is resistant. If that is you right where you are, slip up your hand and say, that's me. Because we're just going to pray for them right now. Christ died, the Bible says, for God so loved the world. And He died for your friend and your family member as well. And He wants them to come to a saving faith with Him. So let's pray for them right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for our friends and family, Lord God. You died, You gave up Your body. Your body was broken for us, but not just us, but for them as well. And I just ask and pray, Lord, in Jesus' name, for all of our loved ones that on this Good Friday that don't know You, I just ask and pray, Lord, that they would come to a saving faith, that they would come to know You. And I thank You for miracles, Lord God. I thank You, You're going to surprise some people, Lord God, that there are some people here are going to be astounded with the transformation in some of their friends and family members, Lord. I thank You for it. Even now, Lord God, You're sending people around, Lord God. Your Spirit is moving and going to be drawing them to You. And I thank You and praise You for it, Lord. And I declare and prophesy that in 12 months' time, at the next Good Friday, some of them will be here sitting with their family, Lord God, having come to know You. I thank You and I praise You for it, Lord. And we are going to keep proclaiming Your death, Lord, until You return. I thank You and praise You for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Church, would you stand to your feet? I'm sorry if I was a bit excited today. Praise God, but it's Good Friday because there's a Resurrection Sunday. He's alive, amen. And I just thought it'd be real cool. I just want to pray for you, and I'd love for us to finish with that song, Raise a Hallelujah, that we would lift up a voice and be bold. You know, the Bible says that on Good Friday, Jesus' disciples were scattered. They went away from Him. But on this Good Friday, we're not going to be like that. We're going to be bold, and we're going to declare His goodness. Amen. But I just want to pray.